Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 25. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 25 today. Last week we were together and we looked into chapter 24. In doing that, we had an opportunity to see the Lord in His wisdom giving us answers to questions that we personally needed to know about the time of the end, the time of His coming. And so today we're continuing a discourse on what's known as the Olivet Discourse. So as you ponder what we saw last time, I wanted you to recognize that there were three sections in that chapter that really were punctuated for you and me. If you wanted to flip back to verse 8 and 9 of chapter 24, the Bible says all these things are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows is the word birth pangs. Okay, what we're seeing right now is the beginning of birth pangs. It's an amazing thing, you know. Birth pangs means there's going to be a baby. And when the baby comes, it's going to be the millennial kingdom. I'm looking forward to that, okay? It's going to be a good day. And, you know, when I think about it even more so in recent days because of all this going on, I mean, it's getting real, folks. It's exciting times. So we want to have our garments white, okay, while we're waiting for our Lord to come. But he says these are the beginning of sorrows. And then in verse 9, the Bible says in chapter 24, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. And that Greek word is into tribulation. That's the first mention in the Olivet Discourse of the coming tribulation. If you want to know more about that, just read the book of Revelation. For the most part, the vast majority of it's dealing with the tribulation. There's going to be sealed judgments, there's going to be trumpet judgments, bowl judgments. It's going to be a bad time for the earth. But the thing you want to circle in that verse, in verse 9, is the word you, because he's talking to Jewish people. Christians do not go through the tribulation. We are raptured out of here, and Israel is placed back on the stage of time and eternity, because God called them in the Old Testament to be our older brother, if you will, to come to faith, and then show the rest of the world how that works. Think about that for a moment. You say, well, I thought they were a mess. Yeah, they were a mess, but they started out with Abraham. The Bible says God picked Abraham because he knew Abraham would teach his children faith. And of the 12 patriarchs, they as well carried the baton. Then it became Isaac and Jacob, and each of those picked up the baton of true faith. Faith alone in God and taking God at His word. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans in chapter 4, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how you get saved. You don't get saved by keeping the law. The law was interjected to amplify the feeling and reality and acknowledgement of sin. When it said, don't do this, and we did it, we knew we were being bad. Okay? Because God said, don't do this. And as it were, that was what the whole role of the law was to be. So we see him telling us that now they're going to be back. They blew it in the past. They didn't ever really get their mission accomplished, as it were. When Jesus came, they missed him. They said, crucify him. To be fair, I want to go back and remind us, on the day of Pentecost, the church was born with the Jewish community. Okay, don't forget that. We're not anti-Semitic. They made a mistake. David made a mistake, you know. All these people in the Bible, somebody said very well, right? They said that the Bible is not a book man would have written if he could have, because it tells all the bad on everybody. And it's not a book man could have written if he would have, because it tells all the prophecies. He declares the end from the beginning. So I want you to know that they fumbled the ball. And they've been under a spiritual blindness for 2,000 years nearly now. If you read the book of Romans in chapters 9, 10, and 11, you'll find he says a blindness has happened in part with them. Okay, so think about that, because God's going to take that blinding away. And the tribulation is part of God's wake-up call. Okay, it's actually a full-blown undertaking of God saying, I'm giving you one last altar call before I put the curtain down and we go into the millennial kingdom. It's 7 years long. It's called the tribulation, and this is the first mention of it in chapter 24 of Matthew and verse 9. It says, they shall deliver you, Jewish people, because he's talking to his disciples and he's talking about a kingdom that was prepared for them that they're going to be part of. And so he says, they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted. So he's talking to the localized people at the time as representative of the entire generations that would come of the Jewish people. Verse 21 of chapter 24 says, and then there shall be great tribulation. Now you might underline that. So it goes from tribulation to great tribulation. You see, great tribulation is the second half of the tribulation. The Bible says for 1260 days, 42 months, a time and half a times, God can't stress it enough, that there's going to be certain things happening that are going to be very profound in regard to his plan for the people of Israel and getting them back to himself. Now, I want you to recognize something also, that if you go through your study of the book of Revelation, you will find that the Bible says, neither repented they of their fornications, of their murders, their adulteries, and their sorceries. Now, guys, I'm going to be a little bit contemporary with you for a moment here. You realize, right, they're talking about giving everyone a vaccine. And if you don't have papers, you won't be able to work. You won't be able to buy or sell. Because these papers are going to be partly, it's going to be kind of a thing where they're trying to take away your money and they're trying to take away your freedom. Bill Gates, who's really pressing it, he's got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, whatever. You have all kinds of things happening right now that's trying to thrust us into, listen, a cashless society, which doesn't really find its full expression till the tribulation, which means we're right there, man. They're talking about it. And we got to get out of the way so the rest of the world can get on with their nonsense and not repent of their fornications, murders, adulteries, and pharmakia. Pharmakia is the Greek word for sorceries. Think about that. Pharmakia, pharmacies, a vaccine. You realize that hydroxychloroquine, right, that's been working really, really well against this thing. Now, I know the media doesn't want to tell us that, but it's been working really, really well. And Dr. Fauci, who told us it's not been tested or proven. Dr. Fauci served on a board with the National Institutes of Health that studied the coronavirus series, the SARS and all that. They're all the same families. They're just a little different in their meanness or whatever and how they work. And he knows from 2005 that this hydroxychloroquine was something that could work. It was his paper actually states it. I have a copy of it if you would question me on that. Listen, I'm telling you, I am trying to be very clear with you. They're lying to us on many levels. Right. I'm not saying this stuff isn't dangerous. You don't want to get it, okay? You don't want it, okay? I don't want the flu. Frankly, I don't want a hangnail, to be honest with you. I'd be telling my wife about it for 3 weeks. She doesn't want me to have a hangnail, all right? So I'm just saying, I don't want it. This is bad. It can take a person out who has really bad situations, but they are blowing it up to get you and me to get in lockstep so that we will behave in such a way as to facilitate a global economy, a global government, listen, and the platform for the Antichrist. And I just want you to know, the Great Tribulation is when those bold judgments are poured out, and God really does take the gloves off, if you will, because the Antichrist comes in the middle of the tribulation, as it says in Matthew 24, and he sits down in the Holy of Holies and makes desolate the Holy of Holies at the temple. Temple's not built yet, but it will be built during that first 3.5 years, and they will get sacrifices and offerings, and subsequently the Antichrist will desecrate that. The Bible says, but immediately after, in verse 29 of chapter 24, after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven. Notice it says after the tribulation. That's in the Great Tribulation. Okay, you got the tribulation, 3.5 years, then you got the Great Tribulation. So he's talked about the Great Tribulation in verse 21. Now he talks about after the tribulation in verse 29 to tell us what's going to happen in a nutshell during the Great Tribulation. And in verse 30 it says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, I've got much to say about the sign, but I'm not going to talk about it right now, except to say, pay attention when you're reading your Bible about lightning, about Jesus' transfiguration and things like that. When it happens, there's going to be a rolling in the heavens, I believe, and subsequently he will come with the clouds, and it's going to be pretty ominous. You know, nothing scarier than being out on a golf course and then there'd be a big storm roll in a hurry. Well, this is going to be a universal storm. He's coming. And when he comes, he's going to get everybody's attention. Bible says, then shall the sign of the Son of Man be seen, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 45 of chapter 24 says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? My wife went to the store a couple of days ago, actually, and there was no chicken. None. Tyson's just shut down their plant because they get in a deep cleaning. The beef, they slaughter enough to feed like 8 million people a day. Anyway, the beef's going to be kind of choked out a little bit. And you'll go to the store and you'll want some and you won't be able to find it maybe for a little while. That's not this. I'm just saying, it's saying he's going to give them meat in their due season. And this is they. This is the Jewish people. He's talking to them. And he's looking for what? He's looking for faithful and wise servants. Now, this is all talking about the coming of the Lord. This is talking about Israel getting themselves righted with God. And we turn the corner and go to chapter 25. And the Bible tells us in chapter 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Now, remember what I did. Now, you might put in your margin right next to chapter 25, verse 1, the last verse I mentioned in verse 45 of chapter 24. 24:45. Put it there because that's where he says, who's a faithful and wise servant? And now he's talking about people who are foolish and wise. See, chapter 24 drills into who is a faithful and wise servant. So if I were to entitle this message something, I would say faithful and wise. Because he's going to talk about the faithful and the wise. And in this chapter, in chapter 25, the Bible says that this kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, understand that this was a uniquely Jewish way of doing marriages and weddings. You know, Joseph was betrothed to his wife Mary. That's about as far as we go. Another glimpse you might have had is when John was asked about Jesus and he said, listen, I'm just the friend of the bridegroom. I'm the best man. He's the groom. I'm excited he's here, you know, and I'm good. He must increase and I must decrease. So he's the best man. Jesus is the groom. But Israel is not the bride. Although those who are saved among us that are Jewish in the church age will be part of the bride. So some of them will get in on that blessing almost by default because, you know, there is no other plan. There's the Jewish people. And they brought in the Savior, and now we've accepted and received the Savior, and we champion the Savior. We're to be gospelizers from the time he left to the time he comes. And all of that is just a beautiful, beautiful portrayal of what God is up to. He came seeking a bride for his son. The bride was going to be the Gentiles. The people of Israel were going to be his servants to bring them to himself. They fumbled the ball, and now they're pretty much put on the shelf. They've got a judicial blinding. And God says in this generation that he's talking about, then shall the kingdom of God, then, he's talking about toward the end, he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, this is a wealthy family, evidently, because the betrothal meant that the bridegroom would come at an appointed time, but nobody knew when he'd come. So the bride would have these attendants, and their reference is 10 virgins. And the bride would be tended by her. Their job was to keep always at the ready. They didn't know if their bridegroom was going to come at morning or noon or night. So they needed lamps. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.